Was break today. We go back to
because
well, you work, so I don't care. Like, yeah.
No, I was just gonna say I'm on the dark side because as soon as you little goons go back to school, so do my little goons, and I'm free again. Like Christmas break is the torture for me. And you ask your parents, it's the same everywhere.
I'm Michael King from Starship Valiant, and I play Captain Jackson K. Bishop, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
It's unbelievable, this is as good as it gets. It's unbelievable, don't know what's gonna happen next. It's unbelievable, you haven't seen nothing yet. It's unbelievable, it's unbelievable. When I was a kid, I saved up all my dough so I could buy C-3PO. Put Mentos in my Diet Coke in the backseat of the bus. When I was a kid, I ate SpaghettiOs, played laser tag and G.I. Joes. And if you vowed no girls allowed, then you could join the club. When I was a kid, I spent my Saturdays blowing on Nintendo games. The newest thing was Lion King, and I could feel the love. It's unbelievable.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an episode of Comic Pop BSing. We are with Nathan Ferrugia, and we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Lenny,
Jonathan,
and Logan.
And like I said, we are here with Nathan Ferrugia, with the author of Fifth Column. We just got finished doing a long and fun talk about The Force Awakens. We're going to talk maybe
almost
a little
as
bit
as long as the movie itself.
Yes. We might discuss a little bit more Star Wars, but we're going to just kind of BS a little bit with Nathan. The first thing we want to talk about is, I know Lenny's read your books and everything. Jonathan's
read
some.
Yeah.
Is the, and I know when we first visited with you, you said the fourth book was going to come out in installments. And I'll have to admit, I've been reading other things for the podcast here, and I haven't been able to get back on Amazon. Are those available yet to download, or are you still in the process of working those up?
Not yet. No,
not
I
yet.
Think you're still caught up.
Okay.
I've been giving you guys, you know, a few years off, so.
I'm apparently going to need
Thanks.
It because, yeah, I've still got to read the third one. I'm real excited about the second one. It was awesome. But, I'm still one behind.
Nice. That second one's huge. I didn't realize until I print.
You just
yeah, and it's
down,
so
like, I'm so sorry.
You know, it's I love your writing style, but it's so taxing for me. Like, every 20 or 30 pages, I have to stop and, like, let all the, you know, action that's transpired through my brain. But I really love,
to me, that's
I really love how fast it moves. It is a lot of fun.
That's happened to me once, on a 4-hour trip up to Wichita, or down to Wichita. I always say up, for forensics. I was reading, World War One book. It was like a memoirs book, you know, POW, type book. And like every, 20, 30 minutes, Like I was just so into it that I didn't even talk to the others in the car. Like, so I would read it for like a good 20 minutes, and then, you know, I'd like finish a chapter, or maybe not even that, and I'd just look out the window, look at the vent. You know, kind of, what are you guys doing? Oh, having a good time? Go back to my book. Didn't even say a word. And then later they were like, Jesus, April, you scared the hell out of us. We were like, what is happening to her?
Well, I wasn't like, no, that not that fast. Like, usually a few hours break for me. But I have a pretty weird schedule, so yeah.
Well, what? I know one of the things we've always mentioned is you like putting your main characters in situations that aren't the most pleasant, and you beat the hell out of them, run them through the gutter and everything else that you could probably think of, shoot them up. And I know it's for a purpose. You're showing everything about the characters and everything and what the virus is causing. But that's, of course, been always one of the funner things for me with your novels, is just having that action. And I think Lindy came across one point, this is kind of tying it back into the Star Wars deal again. If you want to mention that, Lindy.
Nathan, I really have to applaud the use of the Jenga Fett action figure. And the thing is, as soon as Jay picks it up, I'm waiting for it. I know, like, he has it, and he doesn't even know why he has it. He just, it was in the box of cereal.
He's a collector. Yeah. It's instinct.
And I'm like, oh, please let something happen with that action figure. And whenever he puts it, he puts it in that guy's neck, right? In the one of the stormtroopers' necks. Yeah. That was just, that was the best. And I love the Star Wars tie in there, too. That was very cool. Especially the use of a Jenga Fett action figure, which is, you know, for you, it's really a stretch since it's from the prequels.
Yeah, that was almost a joke on myself, I guess.
That's why he didn't mind getting it dirty or anything. But yeah,
took it out of the package, no
it's
problem.
It's just prequel, it's okay.
I mean, you talking about that whole intensity and having to take breaks from, you know,
right?
Mm-hmm.
From taking breaks from chapters and all that kind of thing.
Go ahead.
It's one of the things that I like about episodic stuff like TV series is that there is a lot more room there for the arcs and for the story, and you don't. You know, like we're talking about The Force Awakens, and there's so much that they have to get into that movie and cutting things. And
yeah, they could have made it a 10-season series and just, you know, had the same damn movie, just really, really well thought out.
and you would have been able to explore a lot of that. And but then you have, like, that bounty hunter scene with... Sorry, I'm going back to Star Wars.
That's all right.
But, it's fine.
You know, with Solo and Chewbacca, and they're on that ship, and they've got the different bounty hunters after them, and there was that whole... Which was fun, but I just remember watching it thinking, we lost character development for this? How did that stay in, you know? It was fun, but yeah, anyway. And whereas in something that's episodic, where you have a lot more time, you know, to bond with the characters and... You know, you have room for all of that. And that's one of the things that appealed to me, is rather than trying to cram so much into a novel or a movie, like with that second book that you're talking about, that's huge. And that was me trying to cram too much in.
It's a very long book. And the thing is there's so much dynamic story change. It is, and of course the detail in it is fantastic. And I think that your character development, I'm really fond of Jay and Sophia, of course. And also Grace, those I think are my three favorites, and they're all three very dynamically different characters. But Jay, bar none, my favorite character. He's just, he's cool. I really like the way the action moves, and it it's like, you know, they're like, okay, well, they got out of that bombing disaster, they're gonna get on this boat, oh wait, nope, there's four more shock troopers, deal with this, bitches. And it's like, oh, and I'm sinking in my chair thinking, now someone's definitely gonna die.
Whatever can go wrong will go wrong.
It's definitely a Murphy's Law style story.
Well, that's like, I'm reading a manga right now currently, and I was like 20 chapters in, and it's already like getting heavy and intense, and like, you know, characters might be dying off or anything. And like, what I do to console myself is I say, like, I look at how many chapters are already there, and like, it's already up to like 70 chapters. So I'm like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. Because they still got to fill up the rest of these chapters with these characters, so they make it. Like, you know, because, you know, but yeah, it's traumatizing. Like, oh God, but yeah. With that, I worry
for Jay Nathan. I don't know what's going to happen in the third book or what you have coming in the future, but I worry for that guy. He takes a lot of risks. And I just, yeah, I'm worried. I don't know what's going to happen, but it worries me.
He's in the fourth one.
Oh, my God.
And he goes through a lot. But, with the fourth one, it's not just a novel divided up into episodes, which would just be a lame way, I think, of just making it episodic for no reason. So it's kind of the equivalent of, I guess, three more books. So you have, I think there'll be 9 episodes being released this year.
Okay.
Nice.
And the first one will be in March. So yeah, and they're sort of the size of maybe a third of a book. So if that was translated to screen, it might be maybe an hour each, something like that.
Okay.
Still a little bit long for a TV episode, unless it's on Netflix and well, they just do whatever yeah. they want.
These days, everything's an hour long, it seems like, except for reality TV.
I've noticed some episodes on Netflix just go forever.
Yeah, they really do.
Just no time to slot in that they have to worry about. You know, there's no ad breaks or anything. So it's a good bit of flexibility. I like that. So, yeah, that's sort of the direction it's going in. I don't actually have much more to reveal. Okay. Doing a bit of a J.J. Abrams here. But I'll be able to actually probably. Think I plan to send maybe the first episode to Richard sometime soon. I might be able to send an early copy if he's caught up.
Oh, I've been caught up. Since we last talked.
Yeah. Yeah, you were the fastest.
Yes.
Very impressive.
We were waiting on other readers, and then hosts kind of shifted and got replaced. So
I'm the replacement killer.
Yeah.
What was that,
sorry,
Nathan?
I missed that.
Lenny's the newest one. I think we might be losing April, though. She's got school tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's 11:53.
Yeah, go home before your mom kills us for keeping up to midnight. Because we'd really like you to stay on the podcast, so goodbye.
I'll stay on it. Mom's all right. Yeah, all
right. I fear her mother.
If you go, yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm going. I have the keys in my hand. Okay. I'm moving the microphone. One
thing unless you want to stick around.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you about this.
I'll go ahead and hang on, but I'll mention at least one thing, though. You are now writing in the style that most fanfiction type writers write in, too.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Wait, some of those are epic.
Anyways, this is my pet octopus that I got. And I just really like him. He's a boy, but he's pink. And you know what his name is?
Pinky.
No, his name's Ocho. Because I was like, God dang, octopi got eight legs, but the name eight sounds kind of dumb.
So I got
Ocho.
So I'm
calling Ocho.
It's going to be so sad to see you go, April.
I just want to leave you on that because I'm actually really proud of him.
When I first saw it, I was hoping it was one of those little plush Cthulhu dolls.
No, I'm not that into Cthulhu. Like, I don't get it.
You wouldn't.
Yeah. All right. We'll see y'all.
Night.
Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm totally stealing her chair as soon as she's gone.
No, you're not. Yeah.
I'm closer. There's no way you're getting to it before
you
me.
You want to bet?
Yeah. All right. We've lost Logan and April. So thank you both for joining us. So
now you're
fine. We're down to three now. But now we're readjusting.
My old butt hurts. This chair is way better.
He said that right. His old butt hurts.
Thank you.
No, I was going to ask you, Nathan, and I was kind of watching April, seeing that she was getting ready to go. Did you say that were they actually going to come out in print as well, or are these still planning on being digital releases?
Just before I answer that too, before I forget, the other thing too with these episodes is that they're written in, and this was not easy to do. This was really hard, but it was fun. These are written so that you can come into it like you were coming into The Force Awakens, but you don't have to have seen the previous movies. So with these new episodes, you don't actually have to have read the first three books. Obviously, okay. Helps.
Right.
So you get a lot of... you get new characters and you have old characters, you know, like Jay.
Mm-hmm.
But they're introduced in such a way so that new readers get a new beginning. It isn't a rehashed version of the old one, so it never really... never really recycles anything.
I think that's smart with anyone that's even if they're doing a serial, like doing a series, to give enough beginning to the second installment or the third or the fourth or whatever that they don't have to have read. Because I know a lot of people that read more than casually, and you know, I know a person that will pick up the 17th book in a series, and if it can be read by itself, they will. You know, I like to start things at the beginning. I try to, but I think that's a really smart way to write it. And also, it helps you, reestablish, you know, like a fan base as far as, like, you know, you can send that out to people and you don't have to, you know, offer, well, there's also three what, like 1,500 pages worth of novels to, I haven't actually counted the third one yet, but I do have it at my house. I'm holding it hostage. The library won't have it back till I say.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea. I mean, you don't want to force people to, oh, they want to, you know, read or even watch something that's new and everyone's talking about, oh, but you have to go back and start with these, you know, other ones.
Yeah.
But what if I don't want to? I want to get into this one that everyone's talking about now, you know. Okay. It's same with TV series, you know. People will binge watch three seasons of something just to catch up to where their friends are so they can talk about it, you know. So, yeah, it would be nice to not force people through from the start. And they can go back and, you know, watch that stuff or read that stuff later. It's almost like, you know, as much as I hate using the word, they're almost like prequels. So I'm happy with that. You know?
The word isn't bad. It's just your experiences with prequels have been terrible, Nathan. But it's not a bad word. It's an okay word. The word itself is good. One day you will be able to see a real prequel made with real integrity, not just for your dollars, and you will be happy again, I promise, with prequels.
No, I look forward to that moment.
I look forward to it for you because I can understand the disdain. But okay, so this is totally off subject of everything, and I didn't want to mention it while April was here because she is. I wrote a little story, and Richard's actually read it, and that's not important. It's you know, but I was when you were talking about the way you're doing your new books, and that's something that I wanted. I've been thinking about. I wanted to do as soon as I finished it. I wanted to do something else with it and not like not just the next chapter started in a new book because I thought this one was too thick, so I'm just going to go on with the story from here. I'm toying with the idea of scrapping all the characters and setting it like 100 years in the future, the sequel, and of the story like 100 years in the future, and then basically backwashing it incorrectly so that the information that's been gathered by these future residents of whatever's going on is not actually what happened. And I think that for me, like with my story, like there is nowhere, like if I go on with the story from where it is, from where it's standing, then you know, I'm just pretty much just, you know, basically doing what people accused Abrams of doing with Star Wars with the Force Awakens, is just kind of rebuilding the same story. And I thought that you know, what I wanted to do, it starts out as an action adventure kind of zombie story, and what I wanted to change it to was kind of not just being a misinformed future population, but also being more like espionage thriller type with you know, much less direct violence and action, but much more like subterfuge and stuff like that, and just not but you know,
it's a thriller.
Yeah, and basically like change it to a thriller from an action adventure, and just basically scrap. I want to set it so far in the future that all of my characters have to be dead. So, you know, and without explanation, like, you know, no, they're dead. But
Nathan, I want you to tell Lenny, because I think this guy has him a little worried, but how long did it take you to finish up your first book? And I know every author's not completely happy with it, but when it actually went to press, how long did it take you to do?
I have three thoughts floating in my head now. Three answers to everything.
Sorry,
but that one just quickly. Long time, probably, only because I was learning as I was going. So I was redrafting, and as soon as I'd finished the draft, I would have learned enough that it needed to be to go back from the start and do it all again. So we're talking 10 years. The first one, second one took like 10 weeks.
Yeah,
I know you've told us before, but I wanted Lenny to hear that too, so he was like,
"Well, that's, you know, that's, I'm pretty much on schedule then." That sounds great.
You are. When you're talking about setting that story so far in the future, is as the sequel, or are you thinking of scrapping the original story?
No, I love my story. No one else may ever love it, but
it would seem like a waste if you just decided.
No, I think I win as far as zombies go. I mean, I'm not there yet. Like, I may take 10 years, but to get people to see what I see, but that's just because of my I'm a failure as a smart person. I don't have the words. I have the ideas, but I'm getting there. And yeah, I think. It was real funny when you talked about getting done with a draft and immediately needing to start something else because you learned something that you needed to, and that I've done. I think I'm on like draft. I think I say all kinds of numbers, but I think legitimately this is my fifth draft, and I like to say my last.
But as an artist, you're never completely satisfied.
Yeah, but
it's just part of it.
I hope one day that you might read me, but you know, who knows if that'll ever happen. But the story is about zombies, and in many ways, it is not. It's about zombies in a more purist way than a lot of modern zombie stuff. It's magically created zombies, if you will. I think that's one of the big things when I started off early on was I did not want it to be just another Walking Dead or just another Night of the Living Dead even. I didn't want it to have an endless menagerie of zombies. So that's one thing I can promise you, if you ever do read it, the book has an end. You get to the end of where the Walking Dead are walking, wherever the hell they're going, you get there. And that's something that I was very proud whenever I tacked that on. But and I haven't started yet because I'm so wishy-washy about, you know, whether I want to take on another project and continue or just continue to because literally the last year of my life has been editing and changing and taking criticism and smiling anyway and just, you know, moving on and not smiling and arguing with people. And I'm totally like self-taught here, which in the writing world means, you know, terrible, I guess. I think that if I ever get it to that point, it'll be pretty good. And then, like I said, I want to do the sequel, something totally away from it, but because that's something that I've learned while I've been writing, you know, in the last several years, that there's a lot of different things that I didn't know that you could do. Like, you can lie. You can make your narrator not tell the truth about what's going on in your story. And then later, you know, like Fight Club, you know, I didn't see it that way. But eventually, you know, I learned that that's called a false
false narrative.
Unreliable narrative.
You know, that's something that I was like, you know, that especially when you already have a key story that, you know, for me, that's very, you know, I know every aspect of every way I've ever written it pretty much. And like, you know, since it's already changed for me, then I already have false truths. You know what I mean? So it's like all it would be to implement them and the reason for them to be believed in the future. And with, I just like, you know, like I kind of want to take my character and like elevate him to a status that he doesn't deserve and okay. Have like something go on with that I want to keep a secret. But yeah, so that's the whole point of that.
Mm. I think, actually, two things that come to mind there. One is, I mean, you can, taking a story far into the future where the, you know, all the existing characters are dead, and basically resetting the cast can be quite good. I don't think enough people do that, and I've seen that in a little bit of television, I guess, like with Fargo, the TV series. They did that with season one, season two. I think they were set maybe 20 years apart, so you did get, you know, people who were children in the first season were adults in the second, so they, you know, they were never really protagonists for two seasons running, and obviously 100 years apart, they wouldn't even be alive. But, you know, that can be fun, and you can even do it in a minor level, like with another TV series, The Leftovers. They, into the second season, they just change the location completely, introduce new characters as well as the existing ones. So that's sort of a lighter touch of doing it. So, I mean, there is no wrong way of doing it. It's what you want to do. And, you know, the in terms of, and I've still got a question of riches just to answer quickly, but the probably the one book I wish I had when I was writing drafts, and I probably wouldn't have needed to write 10 if this was around, and I will recommend it, and it's, I don't know if I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but it's a screenwriting book, which I've applied to novel writing. It doesn't make a difference, really. And it's written by someone whose identity we don't even know, but he writes as Film Crit Hulk. And that used to be, I think the website he writes for now is Birth Movies Death. Huh. So if you look up Film Crit Hulk, as in he criticizes film, it's just leagues ahead of any other. He diagnoses movies. He talks about blockbusters. He talks about action and humor, and his book's amazing. All of his articles are amazing. It's just, you know, if you enjoy film in any capacity, he's a fascinating read. He writes these amazing essays that really gets to the underlying function of stories. And yeah, if you're writing anything, definitely check out his essays and his screenwriting book, which is on Amazon and everywhere else.
What was his name again? Yeah.
They don't know.
They don't know.
Well, what does it go by? Critic Hulk? Is that what you said?
Film? It's film.
Film?
Crit. Crit is in crit, short for criticism. Yep. And then Hulk. So he writes like actually, Hulk Nathan, from the Avengers.
You actually advised this to me a while back because I was asking you questions as well.
Yeah, okay. So, I did mention it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I remember you telling me that.
Well, I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah,
I didn't. I know you can see me on camera. I didn't write it down, but Richard was over here off camera writing it for me. He's my guy, so he's gonna hook me up with that knowledge later. You said you had another question to answer of Richard's.
Yeah, I think Richard was asking about whether these would be in print. Yes. And I think the way that my publisher is going to do it is they're going to, because each episode is quite small, and to print those is really quite expensive. They're just not large enough to justify the print cost. You can print anything. You can print, right. You know, it's science fiction, fantasy books that are massive, but they cost more to print, not just for the pages, but just the cover and everything. But with these episodes, they're going to print them. When they do the print side of things, it'll be 3 episodes per book. So it will probably look like a novel in size, maybe like the second novel of mine that you have that's huge. It might look even as big as that, okay. But they won't print the episodes separately.
Okay.
So until the third episodes come out, you'll have the only format they'll be available on is electronic.
So
yeah, they'll be electronic immediately. So then you'd have to wait for the first 3. Yeah, like you said, I think.
So it'd kind of be like a omnibus.
Yeah.
Type deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, okay. They're going to be too big to put them all into one book. So I think they'll just have to keep them 3, you know, 3 at a time, I think, seems like the magical number. So that seems to be how they'll do it. I mean, my publisher has experimented with episodic fiction over the last few years, and it's done very well. But no one's really done more than 5 or 6 episodes, and they're usually just dividing a novel that they've already written.
Yeah.
And then they've started to write episodically, but this is probably a bit longer. It's almost maybe not an American television or a short American television series, but 9 episodes. Maybe it's like a British television series.
Right. Yeah, they're much more punctuated, aren't they? I mean, even the really, really successful ones only go a few years.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, not Doctor Who, obviously, but everything else.
Yeah, it's a cool, it's just a nice, refreshing, not medium, I guess, because I'm not changing the medium. I'm still writing, but just the pace and all of that. I don't have to cram all that action in as tightly, and you have room to breathe, and you know you can you spend more time with the characters, which is why we like TV so much, is we do get to spend more time with them. So, yeah, it's an interesting pace to work at. It's also a lot more work, so I didn't really think that one through. So well, there you go.
Since we're BSing, we're going to kind of slide away from the novels and kind of go back into the movie world. We kind of mentioned it in our reviews with Force Awakens, but looking at Rogue One and the future of Star Wars, what do you think is going to be headed our way? Because I know Rogue One is about the battle plans for the Death Star, and there's some theories about that. I don't know if you've heard about, are you still excited, or is it kind of like, well, we'll see what happens?
I think you guys might know more than I do about that, really. I mean, what is there? There's, well, what are we expecting? There's Rogue One, and then there's the Solo movie as well?
Supposed to, yeah, they're already trying to, doing casting calls for a young Han Solo before the New Hope's, kind of like when he was a smuggler. And then they're in the writing stages of Boba Fett.
So, oh, they're doing one for him. Yes. I had no idea about that. That probably makes me the most excited.
That's what's going around right now. Solo and Boba Fett were a rumor. Solo's pretty much been confirmed with the casting call, so Boba Fett's kind of still in that rumor stages, but it's a strong rumor because, you know, Disney wants to come up with their power punches right away to get their money. You know, they want us old guys to go and pay the money.
I mean, wasn't Boba Fett kind of covered in the prequels, or was that his father, or was it his father, wasn't it? Yeah,
basically his father.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure whatever they do, they'll probably largely ignore the prequels.
Because
anyway.
the father was Jango Fett or Jenga Fett or whatever his name was. Yeah. Sure. That the father.
Just call him Jingle Fett. Yeah.
And then Boba Fett was the son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the clone. Yeah. He was a clone that had no inhibitors.
But he was technically Jango's son.
Well, it was himself.
Of himself, okay.
Because it's a clone of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just read a comic or a manga, and it's not manga, it's American, comic. But manga-style comic called Clone that is about that very thing, and it's really interesting because they're definitely not... normal.
No. But
it's kind of like Orphan Black.
I haven't seen that series yet.
It's about all these clone thingies.
With a lady?
Yeah, with the lady.
With the lady. The series with the lady.
The lady. You gotta do the ladies.
Well, what it's about is this lady she sees. Oh, no, she didn't see her, but she finds out that she has all these clones of her running around. One's a brainiac, one's a soccer mom, and.
All these different aspects. Yeah.
Cool. That sounds cool. The comic was great. I read it in like 20 minutes, and I was like, I mean, it was a whole graphic novel. And
you're reading things in 20 minutes? No.
Well, I'm just saying it was good.
So, being with Australia, how much of a lag is there between the blockbusters getting there? Because I know Force Awakens was kind of opened up worldwide almost at the same dates, but not quite. But is there a lag, or is it pretty fast?
These days, no. I think it's changed a lot in the last 5 or 10 years, possibly, you know, even in the last 10 years. I think I even remember the Matrix sequels were coming out on the same days.
Okay.
And then from that point on, I think that became the norm.
Okay.
We started getting stuff pretty much on the same day or sometimes even earlier, which is weird. I'm just not used to living out here in Australia and getting stuff before you guys. It's a little unsettling. I don't know what to feel about that. But, it's pretty much been the same time now. And even with television, they've been really trying to close that gap, I think, because they're worried about piracy. I think Australians are the biggest pirates of anyone in the world. So they've been trying to air those episodes within days, and now they're just down to hours. I think they might even be ahead by a few hours, because of how it works out. But, I mean, we all just watch it on Netflix anyway. Not Netflix for Game of Thrones, you know, but for most things. So, but, yeah, definitely for movies, it's all becoming quite instant.
Okay.
And I imagine maybe for movies, it avoids people trying to download, I guess, bootleg copies of, you know, badly recorded.
Right.
You know,
under
cam
the code.
Versions. I don't know what they're trying to do there, but I get to see it the same week as you guys, so I'm happy with that.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. One of the things with Rogue One, one of the more interesting things is, I don't know how big of a fan you are. I'm an uber geek when it comes to Star Wars, but not so bad that I can quote line and scene by any means. But I definitely keep my ear to the ground. But some of the interesting things that are coming out, which of course are still rumors at this point, as they will always be until they're out, is one of the characters in there, they've done a side-by-side comparison of one of the team members of Rogue One with the actor that played Biggs Darklighter in A New Hope. And they are very similar in facial structures. So a lot of people are thinking Biggs Darklighter will be in Rogue One. And then
what's the name of the character?
Like I said, I don't know if it's going to be Biggs Darklighter. I don't know the actor's name, though.
Okay.
If you go on Google and do a search for Rogue One, Biggs Darklighter, a lot of times that'll bring up those images, and they'll have a side-by-side of the old actor with the new actor. The other thing that's of interest is the female lead that's leading the team. When she was first cast, they thought she was going to play a young Leia in Force Awakens, kind of like in that flashback scene. But then it was announced she was going to be the leader in Rogue One. And this is where they could be cherry-picking from the books again and the comic books. In the stories, Leia had a body double like Padme did. And her name was Winter. And she had white hair, but whenever she was impersonating Leia, she would always wear a wig. But she would go on the more... she was the super spy that was, Leia would send her out on secret missions and stuff. Or if Leia was gone, Winter would take her place. So so that's one of the things people are wondering, if this is going to be Winter and Biggs Darklighter as two of the main characters. So that's kind of the funner stuff that I've kind of heard about the next movie. But I don't know how big of a Star Wars geek you are like I am. So
so they're basically trying to Avengers it. They're making the main ones, and then between each of the main ones, there's going to be a bunch of side stories.
No. That sounded like it hurt, Lenny.
What?
You hit your elbow on the...
So what do you think of Disney acquiring all these big properties?
I think as long as it gets away from Lucas, it can't be a bad thing. So, yeah, I mean, it was all very promising. I think even when they started making it, we were talking about, the director, the writers, everything seemed pretty good,
Right.
Just as long as George Lucas doesn't write the script, I would have been pretty happy. He did write some of the originals, didn't he?
He was a co-writer
or something.
Yeah, he's a screenwriter.
Yeah. And I know, one of the other co-writers from the originals is one of the writers for The Force Awakens, so
true.
Probably a good thing. but yeah, I have no problem with Disney doing it. I mean, they do bring their own flavor to it, which, not everyone likes. And it
probably, the Evil Empire, for real.
they do bring a few flaws to it, maybe. But, overall, I'm pretty happy with them doing it. They've applied their own... I guess view to it a little bit. Didn't they do the same thing with Tron Legacy as well? That was Disney, wasn't it?
Yes, that's a Disney property. That's always been Disney Tron.
Oh.
Tron, yeah. But it was kind of funny. We always make fun of the animation from Disney, where a parent always has to die. And then what happened in Force Awakens? A parent died.
So, it fit the Disney theme.
But it's just kind of amazing how they've did it with a purpose, because they were wanting to attract the male viewership back, but I think they've gotten as much female viewership, if not more, with Marvel and Star Wars being purchased by them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow.
They did what to get male viewers?
They bought Marvel and Lucasfilm to get more male viewership, because it was skewing more to the females, but I think it's pretty even when it comes to Marvel and Lucasfilm now. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing that this one company can have so much control
over entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they, like I said, they're the evil empire.
One of the things they acquired with Lucasfilm, it's not just Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I know. Indiana Jones, yeah. And that, to me, that was Indiana Jones is just awesome. And I liked
Lenny models himself after them.
No, I don't.
Yes, he does.
I just am strikingly handsome, and that's all. The Indiana Jones films are okay. My lifestyle is a bit indie-ish, but anyway, I think they're all great in their own, and I love the progression in the ages of him as a character from the originals to the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even. The Last Crusade was a bit of a, jump forward in his life. Kind of like what they did with Han Solo and Leia and Luke in the end of The Force Awakens. That was really cool for me to see that they, they didn't try to, as for one, we miss a lot because they actually went with how much older they actually are. right. than when they were first made. So that their characters, obviously, we missed a lot of life of the actual people. So, but then, like, you know, they made the story fit around it. And I think that that's something that Indiana Jones was just one of the best things. So I'd love to see what I'd like to see them do something with Indiana Jones. I think they
will eventually.
What, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull wasn't theirs, was it? Was it still
LucasArts?
No, that
was still under Lucas. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, they could do something really cool with Indiana Jones. And, I mean, I'm not a Disney hater. I know that they are really way too powerful. They have way too much control over everything. But they do it. They have that power for a reason. They're good at what they do. And it's true. Like a lot of people... No, I'm sure that whenever they acquired the American rights to Studio Ghibli, they pretty much cornered the Japanese anime version of, you know, the right. top shelf. True. That was like the place, the studio, the best in yep. Japan. So they're like, now they own Japanese animation too. And it's like, what don't they want to own? I mean, like, is there anything you're not trying to get?
So when are they going to come to your continent? Are they even thinking of doing a Disney World type deal down in Australia? Or
no,
we try to keep them out.
Yeah, we don't really have anything like that. Huh.
I just don't see
good or bad. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I could see a Disneyland in Australia. I mean, I've never been there, but I do know a few of the people, and I've heard a lot about
it. Could be on
the
coastal.
People.
It'd have to be a coastal city for sure, but.
Well, that's all the cities are coastal, aren't they? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
True, that basically where Disney would want to go.
Danger in this country. We don't need a theme park. Like scary rides.
Well, it's just like I don't know if you've ever been to a Disneyland, but they're very, I don't want to say Nazi-esque, but I can't think of a better word. For their employees, and like how you must act and how you must dress and how you must keep your hair styled and everything. And like in every aspect of their businesses, their theme parks, it's a, you know, they're very big about how, you know, you have to fit the Disney model. And I just don't see Australians going along with that. Like, you know, because no matter where they bring the theme park from, they have to hire the locals to work it. You know, you can't outsource a theme park. So, you know, I've actually spent a lot of time in Orlando and seen a lot of theme parks. And yeah, like, and I've also seen a lot of carnies at carnivals. And I see more of that kind of thing going on in Australia than Disneyland. Yeah.
I don't think that'll be happening anytime soon. Unfortunately.
Maybe if they would have had more success in Europe.
One thing I just thought of randomly then is the accents in The Force Awakens.
There's a lot of accents.
They're quite particular with it.
Yeah.
You know, they made Finn's character, they gave him an American accent quite specifically.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me wonder why Rey has her accent. And whether that ties into her background at all. It makes me wonder if maybe she's actually meant to be a Kenobi.
Yeah, true.
Right.
That's possible.
If you were going by the accent thing, that would suggest that. It could also be she's just from a family that has that accent. It could mean nothing. But it did make me think, you know, maybe it isn't as clear-cut as being Luke's daughter.
Well, is her accent English, or isn't the actor actually from Australia?
Sorry, who is
the actress?
The actor that plays Rey, isn't she Australian? And was that an Australian accent or an English accent?
No, well, I don't actually know where she is. She could very well be Australian for all I know. seem to be infiltrating, but yeah, she has a British accent.
Well, you got Wolverine over.
Yes, true.
I think, and Nicole, she's come over and blown us away. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I remember Olivia. That might even be too old for you, Nathan.
No, I think so.
Do you don't remember Olivia?
Olivia
Newton-John.
Oh, I had a huge crush on her.
Nothing's too old for me, my friend. Nothing.
I had a huge crush on her.
I watched them write the Bible. And I'm talking about the original version before they made everything good, you know.
Yeah, see, that was one of my childhood crushes was Olivia Newton-John. Oh.
She's Australian then.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. I only learned it from watching the... We bought the DVD on Black Friday for like $9 of the first season of The Walking Dead.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Xanadu.
And I mean, and any real big Walking Dead fans, I'm sure, would know this. So if you are, then excuse me for assuming your ignorance. But Andrew Lincoln is British. And...
Yeah.
And he talks like a limey. He does not talk anything like Rick Grimes. And it's like amazing to me the difference in the way that he can just...
Switch it on and off.
Yeah, I mean, I know like that's a part of being an actor is you have to be able to do that to a degree. But it's amazing that he can just go into that American accent. And I sit and wonder, like, especially the really raw emotional stuff when he's talking, like how long he sat and practiced... making his voice sound that southern. Because I lived in Northwest Florida, which we call Lower Alabama, and pretty close to Georgia. Spent a lot of time in Georgia, and that is a Georgia peach accent, if I've ever heard one, especially from a man. That's a dirty South accent, and like he nailed that to the wall. And like the first time I ever heard him talk out of character. And I mean, anyone that watches The Talking Dead or anything like that would know this, I guess, but I don't. I watched everything on Netflix and like British. Years behind. I didn't get caught up on the series until 2 months ago. I finally got cable.
Still not.
It was last month. I finally got cable. That should be shut off next month. So then by February, I'll be good and lost again.
Well, before we head out, there's two other movies I want to ask you about, Nathan, and see what your excitement level is. The first one. And I don't know when they're going to come out. I'll stay with the sci-fi theme with Star Trek Beyond. Does that do anything for you? Or is that kind of like, oh, this is interesting? Because the trailer was definitely interesting and not necessarily in a good way. Have you seen that trailer, Nathan?
For the new Star Trek?
Yeah, Star Trek Beyond.
I mean, yeah, trailers try not to put too much on them. You know, their marketing at the end of the day. And I think I even heard some of the actors from the movie weren't happy with how that trailer was put together. You know, because they can be misleading in some ways.
Not good at all. I'm hoping it's better than what that leads to. But
I think, you know, I still have pretty high hopes for the movie itself. I think it'll be a lot better. I mean, just go back for a second to The Force Awakens and how very carefully those trailers were made.
True.
You didn't even know that the main protagonist was a woman, and I think that was quite intentional to lure a large portion of an audience who may not have liked the idea of that. But once you start watching The Force Awakens, you're already committed.
She's
and
it.
You're enjoying it.
Yeah, idiots in this country were talking crap about Finn being a black Jedi. You know, whenever they first were releasing teaser trailers, you know, they were talking about, oh, you know, they're having a black Jedi, and there were racists no one I would associate with, but I saw it on social media that were trying to boycott the movie. And I'm like, and later on, you see the same stories, and they're talking about him being a black stormtrooper. I'm like, yeah, because now you know he was a stormtrooper, but they never gave that away in the trailer, so you didn't know until the damn movie came out he was a stormtrooper, because I remember when they were originally bitching about it, and they were calling him a Jedi, and like, which to me is both, like, you know, pretty ignorant and just like small-minded, so you consider the people that are saying it. But at the same time, yeah, a well-made trailer gives away nothing. It shouldn't.
True.
I've never been so disappointed as when a trailer, like in the first minute of the trailer, you know, I'm really excited about seeing the movie, and then by the end of the trailer, I feel like I already did, and I don't have to.
Well, the other ones that I'm kind of looking at, I think Captain America is pretty much going to be another Avengers movie because almost all the Avengers are in it. So I don't know why they call it a Captain America movie. But the one that's near and dear to my heart, I don't know if it's going to be any good. I'm praying that it will be, is the continuation of the DC universe in the movie theaters with Batman v Superman. Are you excited for that one at all? Or it's got me kind of like, oh yeah, I want to see this one. But I grew up reading DC comics, though. What was your flavor? Did you do comics at all, or are you more of a Marvel guy?
I don't really have a strong preference that one is good and the other I hate. So I'm pretty open to it. I have to say I'm a bit more skeptical about the Batman and Superman one. But part of that's probably a sour taste in my mouth after Man of Steel. So, which, funnily enough, Film Crit Hulk wrote a really interesting article on the problems with Man of Steel, which is really interesting to read. It's essentially that we have a complete lack of empathy and engagement with the characters, and we just don't care. So hopefully we don't have that problem with, you know, Batman versus Superman. I'm hoping. And just, well, I didn't even notice until the most recent trailer that suddenly Wonder Woman's in there. Where did that come from? She slipped her in at the end of the trailer and like, oh, okay, brand new character in her underwear. This is kind of funny.
I know who they're going after with that one.
Well, this is one of those where they're trying to do the Marvel aspect where they're trying to eventually get to a Justice League movie. So they brought her in.
They do have that other one, don't they, with all the villains?
Yeah, Suicide Squad, which is loosely tied in. It's kind of funny because Marvel has tied in all the TV and the movies together since that started with Marvel.
Mm.
DC, they keep them separated. The TV series is its own universe. The movie universe is its own universe.
Yeah, because they have the Gotham. And right. It's a totally different take on Batman.
They have Flash and Arrow.
Yeah.
So you won't be seeing any of those actors in these movies.
They're totally different. Yeah. It's more, they go after a more grown-up kind of realistic version on their TV series. And then their movies, they go straight back to comic book Splash. It seems like that's what they do.
Mm. And that's been one of DC's hallmarks, though, is, you know, the empathy's not there because they were basically lifted up to be like gods. Mm. And Marvel, that's where they came in, 20 years later or 10 years later, and kind of captured that empathy feel of making it the modern guy. It was just the Joe Blow off the
regular guy. Yeah, the regular guy getting something special happen to him.
So that's always been DC's hurdle.
Because that's what we all really are. Yeah. We're all really the regular guy. None of us are Superman.
The
none
closest
of us are
one is Batman.
Well, closest and none of us are billionaires, so that works for like six people on the planet, which is none of the people in this room or this podcast. But I got to ask you, Nathan. I don't know if you've even seen it or how you feel about it, but are you at all excited about the new Deadpool movie?
Oh,
I'm pretty interested in it, actually.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. I cannot wait for that thing to come out, especially after the red line.
I think it's going to be fun.
The red line trailer, yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you go in with that perspective, then it's going to be hard to be disappointed by it.
And I love how they brought in the X-Men, because 20th Century Fox is doing it, who has X-Men, so they're bringing in the X-Men as well.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Yeah. Because they have Cyclops, not Cyclops,
Colossus.
Yeah. And I don't know who the lady is, if that's supposed to be Jubilee or Psylocke.
Psylocke, maybe.
But so that's going to be kind of fun.
Could be Jubilee, too, from the later.
That's some of the shows I'm kind of hoping to have fun with this next year.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not really excited about Batman versus Superman. And it's not, I think it's pretty much for the same reason. I don't feel that connection. And I really loved Batman, and they, you know, yeah. I really loved the original series for my lifetime with Michael Keaton. Not the original, but
it's
the
lifetime movie.
The original of my lifetime was the Michael Keaton. And then I really loved the Christian Bale start. I loved Batman Begins, and I'm like, wow, this is a great movie. I think it's really cool. And then I became obsessed with The Dark Knight in unrealistic, really crazy ways. And then, like, the end, and of course, even before that with the Batman series, even as a kid. You know, by the time they got to the third and fourth of the Michael Keaton, Michael Keaton was gone.
Right.
I was really like, oh God.
They destroyed it at the end.
And then they did the same thing, I feel like, with the Dark Knight Rises. I mean, I think they went for too much of the realism there. They went for too much of, you know, like if you fight like that for a year, for the next 8 years, you're going to be a crippled fool, you know? And that's pretty much what they did. But then just with the whole taking over the city again, it's the League of Shadows again. Okay. Like, I just thought they kind of dropped the ball at that series, too. So now that they're, I guess, starting Batman over?
They're making him an older Batman.
Yeah, but
he's already been established. He's already been gone, and
yeah, but it's nothing to do with anything from the
not with Christian Bell. With I don't think it does.
So you know, I guess yeah. Let's see what happens with it. But I'm kind of nervous about that one too.
Could go either way, I think.
Yeah.
So any movies you're excited about this next year, Nathan, or you just kind of taking it day by day?
I think we've kind of covered all the ones.
You got it.
I mean, there is that one that I'm a little interested in is that movie based on a novel called The Fifth Wave.
Okay.
It has that young girl in it.
Yep,
she was off Kick-Ass.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, I think she's in that.
I believe you're right.
So that has an alien invasion.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen
I haven't read the book.
I haven't read the book,
but it's quite popular. That could be interesting. That's the only one I can think of right now. How about you guys?
Jonathan, you have anything extra? I've kind of much gone through my list.
So your list was kind of my list.
Your list.
Let me see. I am very excited for Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I like that kind of thing.
Out with the new Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, Kung Fu Panda 3 looks great.
Yeah.
Finally find out about Poe's dad. Yeah, finally they're coming out with the third one. I've been waiting all this time. I really do like that series, though.
I don't know if they're coming out with it this year.
I think it's
2017.
I think it's like...
But they're coming out with Incredibles 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that.
And I know I'm an uber geek. I'm not going to lie. The new Power Rangers movie is coming out in 2017. I did hear a little bit of that. So I'm kind of excited about that coming out in 2017.
You know what Jonathan grew up now.
I'm really excited about. I just lost it. There's
Brain
a horror
cramp.
Movie coming out really soon.
Horror.
Yeah.
It follows now. You'll have to go back and listen to one of our
Bloodlines,
upcoming
right? Yeah.
upcoming podcasts
Plug
that we haven't released.
Plug Renee, yeah. I can't think of it now. But I just watched a trailer for it, and it looks really awesome. But it's a sequel to something. Oh, well. Bye.
You said you just saw the preview for it?
Yeah.
I'll have to watch TV and... Be like, is this what you're talking about, Lenny?
Well, were they going to do another one on that one couple that had the Annabelle doll? Or is that pretty much done?
I hope not. That was awesome. But
I haven't seen Annabelle yet, but I really liked the first movie. I thought the first movie
Conjuring?
Was
The Conjuring?
Yeah.
It's along those lines, but it's something else. I can't remember. I just saw... The Boy, there it is. Thank you. Yes. I want to see that.
Creepy as all.
No, yeah. I'm a horror movie guy. I definitely like horror movies. And that one, I don't know. It looks really good. Plus, I love Lauren Cohen, and I can't wait to see her scream and run around all half naked. She's the best.
Well, Nathan, I think we're getting a little punch happy here. We definitely love having you back on, and we're going to have to do this again.
Yeah.
If you're willing, we might get in touch with you again and maybe run through each of the Star Wars movies. I'm not going to say we're going to do them real fast here, but every so often just jump on and maybe do something, and then, or just get on a BS like we're doing right now.
Plus,
he
has some stuff coming out soon that we might be able to plug for him.
And you can always come on and give us updates as well as we're BSing. But this is kind of what I wanted the BSing shows to be like, just talking at random about stuff we were interested in.
That's pretty much what we do anyway, so yeah, might as well segment one. Yeah.
True. So, Nathan, I appreciate you doing this for us again. We hope to get in touch with you again later on as well.
Yeah, for sure. Had a good time.
It was really nice to meet you, man, for sure.
Yeah.
And with everyone out there, hope you've been having fun with us as we've been having fun here. Again, we've been visiting and BSing with Nathan Ferrugia, of the author of Fifth Column series. Go to Amazon.com. You can find his digital, and there probably have some print left. I don't know. I don't know how much of a limited run you had on your print runs, Nathan.
Sorry, what was that?
Your print runs on the first books.
They're all available as print, just not the little free short story.
Oh, yeah, gotta remember to get that one. So everybody go out there, go to Amazon. They'll have them available there. So download them or order them off
There's
Amazon.
A short story?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me about the short story?
Well, you're not ready for three. You're still working on two.
I forget about it. Yeah. Well.
I thought it was like in the beginning or something.
No,
like
it's between two and three. So
okay, well, before I start, because I'm going to start three pretty soon, so before I do that, I need to get that.
Well, my publisher actually argues you can read it after the third, so you could do either way, really.
Well, I did. I read it afterwards, and it's one of those.
I'm not a spoiler guy. I don't care what order I read, so as long as I have all the information.
It's a prequel.
Nice.
Use that word that Nathan hates.
I can't escape it.
You could actually do a series for that timeline, really, when you look at it, because you really put the fifth column back in the good old days. Well, I
like
mean,
Babylonia.
Can't say much more. You're not too far off. But
okay, wait. Before we go, Nathan, I've been dying to ask you, like, when I originally thought we were going to do this about... about your books more than the Star Wars stuff. But I thought of this question and I wanted to ask you, like, God, I am getting really tired. when you go to bed at night, are you like, double lock your windows and like hide a knife under your bed? I mean, like, I would be so fucking paranoid. Oh, just like the fifth column of like, do you literally see men in black like watching you when you go in public places, or are you past that all?
I think I like to believe that because it's all fiction, I can deny everything. It's just a story. I can get away with anything. I'll lock a door or two.
You certainly paint them as quite a realistic villain, and I really enjoy that about that series. It's great. It's really
That's good
awesome.
To hear.
All right, we're going to leave off with that. Like I said, I hope everybody's enjoying it. We've been having fun here. Nathan, thank you again, as always. And we'll see everybody the next time we BS. Bye.
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 Hey, you moved my stump. I'm going to wreck it.
I can fix it.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.